Lord, these folks didn't come out in the cold to hear from me. They came to hear from you. So I pray that you would have a message for each one of us through the scripture today. Amen. So you'll be glad to know that this is the end of the series of messages called Responsible. So after today, you no longer have to be responsible. all right, so this series of messages is about responsibility, how we take care of the things and time that God has entrusted to us to take care of. So today, we're talking about taking care of God's time and God's money. Now, the reason I said God's time and God's money is because in Psalm 24:1, it says, "The earth belongs to God and everything in it, and all the people in it belong to God." Psalm 24:1 claims that the God who made everything has title to everything and owns everything. Okay? So God does not give us time and money. God gives us responsibility for making good use of God's time and God's money. So today we're going to talk more about money than time, but we will start with time. So there's really one main thing that steals God's time and causes us to use it irresponsibly. And that thing is called screen. S-C-R-E-E-N, screen. We're surrounded by screens. Yeah, screens. TV screens, phone screens, video game screens, tablet screens. None of these things are bad or sinful. But screens are like sugar. Some sugar makes eating loads of fun, right? But too much sugar gives me diabetes and makes me die of a heart failure. Okay? So, I mean, that's why we want some sugar, but not too much sugar. Okay? Too much screen time eats up God's time and keeps us from noticing the people around us. So whenever we can, between now and Christmas, let's do a few things instead of staring at screens. Let's turn off the TV and read to our kids. If you don't have a way to get to a library, you know, the libraries are free. That's why they're called public libraries. Have the kids bring home books from school. We've got kids' books back here in that shelf near the pastor's office. So I remember one of my main motivations for learning to read was that my parents would read to the three of us at night, but they would stop at the best part. And I wouldn't get any more story until the next night. So I thought, man, I got to learn to do this. This is too long. All right? That was the effect of my parents reading to me. We have lots of readers in this church, probably more than I know about. But I do happen to know that Tori reads a lot. And I've seen Aaliyah, and I've seen Maggie reading. And there's, who else in here likes to read? Grown-ups, children, fantastic. Okay. We need all our kids to love to read, because good reading makes good writers and good thinkers. Okay? And good imaginers. See, if a kid sees a story on TV, the people, everything, the background, everything's right there. But if they're reading or being read to, they have to imagine everything, right? So that builds their imagination. Another thing, we can use God's time as a gift to give others. There are a lot of older people who are not able to get out much. All of you probably have neighbors that can't get out much. They would love to have a grown-up or a child come visit and just ask them questions about their life. What was it like when you were a kid? Did you live in this neighborhood? Did you live somewhere else? What did you like to play? What was your favorite whatever, you know? Or just read a story to them. Even if it's a kid's story, grown-ups will, older people love that, okay? Okay, that's enough about time. Let's move on to God's money. The scriptures that Caleb read are about money. In the story about the man who put his servants in charge of different amounts of money, whose money was it that the servants were put in charge of? Whose money was it? Yes. Right. He didn't give the servants the money. He gave them responsibility for money. And when the first two servants demonstrated that they had acted responsibly with the master's money, what did the guy do? He rewarded them, but he didn't reward them by giving them more money. No, he just put them in charge of more of his money. Why? Because all the money belonged to the master in the first place. Okay? So now let's look at the third servant. Why did he hide the master's money instead of doing something responsible with it? Anybody remember? Kathy talked about this the first Sunday in the month. He was afraid. And why was he afraid? Because he believed that the master was greedy and untrustworthy. Now, we've read the scripture three times now, so let's think about the master. Is he greedy and untrustworthy? First of all, I have to tell you, I think he sounds like a pretty good guy. Okay, he gave each servant an opportunity to show what he could do. If he was a mean guy, he could have taken control of the money himself and put it in the bank himself. But he didn't. He trusted his servants with his own money and gave them an opportunity to shine. Now, the problem with the third servant was his attitude. He was negative and discontented. So that made him afraid to change and afraid to try something different. He didn't have any imagination. His mom didn't read to him. The easiest thing for this guy was to do what he had always done, hide. So that's what he did. He hid the money. Now, notice that the second servant, okay, the one that got 5,000 coins, I mean, who was told to look after 5,000, he didn't pout and say, hey, the other guy got 10,000. I only got 5,000. Not fair. I should have got 10,000 too. Now, if he had said that, he would have been right because it wasn't fair. I mean, 10,000, 5,000, that's not fair. Why didn't he give equal opportunity to both guys? But instead of being discontent with his situation, he decided to be content and do the best he could with what he'd been entrusted with. Now, that's the same decision we all have, and the decision is the hardest at the holidays when we are under so much pressure to spend. So right now, let's make the decision about which tent we're going to live in. Are we going to live in discontent? Are we going to live in contentment? See, housing choice. Okay? Which tent are we going to live in? Okay, now, there's a handout. Please take a look at that. And if you didn't get one, raise your hand. We'll look at the section called Being Responsible for God's Money During the Holidays. Over here. Could you? You could not. Okay. Everybody got one now or can look on with somebody? Okay. The section is called Being Responsible for God's Money During the Holidays. Now, to save time, I won't go over items 1 through 4 because most of you already know that stuff. If you don't know how to make a budget, you need to come to the next Biscuits and Budgets. That Jordan, ta-da, does here on some Saturday mornings. Now, Jordan is a genius at helping people manage the part of God's money they've been entrusted with. Can I get a witness? All right. So, let's assume that you know that you can't spend money you don't have. We're going to assume that. We're going to assume you know that you can't spend money you don't have. And that you have to pay the landlord, the car loan, Georgia Power, and the gas company. You have to pay them, okay? You already know that that money can't be used on anything else. Okay, so we're going to start with number 5. Which people do you have to give a gift to at Christmas? Can some of those people be given a nice note or a visit instead? So make a deal with your adult friends ahead of time, your adult friends and family, that this year everybody is going to save money by not exchanging presents. That's going to help everybody. Okay? Give everybody, take some time, sit down, and write a note about why you're glad that person is in your life. Okay? Now, figure out how much money you can responsibly spend on each child you have to buy for. Then sit down with them, together or separately, and tell them exactly how much money you have to spend on their Christmas. Tell them that, unfortunately, they won't be able to have everything they want. And tell them to think and take some time to decide what they really want the most. It might be a good idea to take them to a store and let them look at all the price tags after you've told them how much you can spend. Okay? Tell them that if they want stuff besides clothes, that means they'll have to wait till the January check before they can get new clothes. You know, I mean, they may not want clothes at Christmas time. Fine. You can maybe get them new clothes when the January check comes. Okay? Then, when you make your shopping trip, take a list and do not buy anything not on the list. Because we adults are just like our kids. Our eyes are bigger than God's allotted resources. We get sucked in just like they do. You know, that's only a dollar. I'll get five. That's only... Yeah. Okay, now, how are you going to be able to afford a good Christmas for the children in your life? If the children you're buying for live at your house, explain to them this truth. The warmer the house is, the less money you have for Christmas. Because you have to pay it to the utility company. That means putting the thermostat on 68 degrees and everyone wears enough clothes to be warm. It is not necessary, and you tell them you can't afford, it would be nice, but you can't afford the money it costs for them to run around barefoot in shorts inside the house in the wintertime. Okay? I mean, they don't know this unless you tell them. I have met adults who don't know this because nobody ever told them. Really, seriously, okay? So tell them. By the way, what I'm saying now is not in the Bible. And so, like, it doesn't mean that if you don't do this or can't do this, God's going to be mad. So don't, these are just thoughts, okay, suggestions, okay? Now, we talked about things that steal the time that God has entrusted to us. Now, you saw, Caleb read us this verse. The rich control the poor and the borrower is the slave of the lender. Now, this is one of those places in the Bible, and there are a lot of these places, we have to watch them, where the Bible is not telling us what ought to be. It's telling us what is. Okay? It's not right that the rich control the poor. It's not right that the borrower is a slave of the lender. But it's true. And so the Bible is warning us, hey, watch out, because anybody you borrow money from is your master. Now, there are three things that steal God's money. Three big things. Credit cards, payday loans, title loans. These are three legal ways to steal people's money. I don't know why they're legal, but they are. Well, they're legal because people make money off them. Okay, make money off of you and God. Okay? Credit cards, title loans, payday loans. These businesses exist to steal money. That's why they're in business, to steal money. Okay? If you've ever gotten one of these loans or used a credit card, you know that's true. The whole thing is set up to make sure that you pay and pay and pay and pay and never pay it off. That's what it's set up for. Now, if you already have those credit cards or loans, between now and Christmas, pay the minimum, but don't add anything. I mean, you have to pay the minimum, repossess your car. So, I mean, you know, do what you have to do, but don't add in, don't borrow anything else. Don't put anything else on the credit card. After Christmas, Jordan will show you how to get rid of that debt. It's painful, but it works. Okay? All right, now, number five. This is harder than the credit card, okay? Tell everybody that asks you for a loan that you can't afford to help them. You know that at least half of the people who say, hey, can you loan me $5, mean, can you give me $5? Not because they're bad people, but because they're not going to be able to afford to pay you back. That's why they had to borrow it in the first place. Okay? So, if you're going to make it through Christmas without sinking, you're going to have to hold on to the money God has entrusted to you so you can pay the people you owe money to, the landlord, Georgia Power, etc. If your best friend's bill is due this week and they need you to give them the money to pay for it, guess what? Your bill is due next week. Okay? And that's really, really, really hard. But you're going to have to learn to do it, and not just at Christmas time. It is extremely hard. But once you get in the habit, people will quit asking you. But what's really, really hard is getting in the habit. Okay, number six. Stop eating out or eating takeout or drive-through until after the holidays. You can get those rotisserie chickens, that are already cooked, and a big bag of rice, and a big bag of frozen vegetables for a whole lot less, and get several meals out of it. Might be boring, but tell the kids, yo, Legos. We can't eat Legos, but you want Legos, so, okay? I mean, it's boring, but it's food. Right? Even a frozen pizza is cheaper than getting a pizza at the pizza place. Just tell them the reason for this is to save money for their Christmas. They can learn that it's okay to be content with enough. We don't have to have everything we like. We just have to have enough. Enough. There's a whole book called Enough by one of my favorite writers. And and he talks about, you know, the diseases of the United States now, and one of them is creditis. And it's a creditis is a major, you know, disease that's running widespread in this country. Okay.